This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
The form tells you to answer question 23. What is the total amount of Maya Kowalski's damages for pain and suffering, disability, physical impairment, physical or mental anguish, inconvenience, and loss of capacity for the enjoyment of life sustained in the past and to be sustained in the future based on Catherine Beatty's hugging, patting, kissing, and placing Maya Kowalski on her lap? There's a line for your answer and an instruction to answer question 24. What is the reasonable value or expense of hospitalization and medical, psychological, and nursing care and treatment necessarily or reasonably obtained by Jack Kowalski for his child, Maya Kowalski, in the past, or to be so obtained in the future until Maya Kowalski reaches the age of 18, based on Catherine Beatty's hugging, patting, kissing, and placing Maya Kowalski on her lap? In awarding damages, please do not duplicate any damages you awarded in questions 4, 9, 14, or 19. There's a place for your answer and an instruction to answer question 25. We are now moving on to the claim 3, which is medical negligence. 25. Was Dr. Sally Smith an apparent agent of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital at the time and place of any treatment she provided to Maya Kowalski? You will answer either yes or no. If your answer to question 25 is yes, then Dr. Sally Smith is a healthcare provider for whom Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital is legally responsible. Please answer question 26. If, however, your answer to question 25 is no, then Dr. Sally Smith is not a healthcare provider for whom Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital is legally responsible. You will skip question 26 and go to and answer question 27. Question 26. Was Dr. Sally Smith negligent in the medical care of Maya Kowalski, and was that negligence a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage to Maya Kowalski? You will answer either yes or no. You will then go to 27. Question 27. Excluding and not considering the conduct of Dr. Sally Smith, were one or more healthcare providers negligent in the medical care of Maya Kowalski at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, and was their negligence a legal cause of loss, injury, or damage to Maya Kowalski? You will check yes or no. Now, if your answer to either question 26 or 27 or to both of those questions is yes, you will then answer question 28. If your answer to both questions 26 and 27 is no, your verdict is for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on this claim. You will then skip questions 28 and 29, and you will go to and answer question 30. Now, if your answer to question 27 is no, and you did not have to answer question 26, your verdict is for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. You will skip questions 28 and 29, and you will go to and answer question 30. Question 28. What is the total amount of Maya Kowalski's damages for loss of earnings in the past, loss of earning capacity in the future, medical, psychological, and nursing care and treatment expenses to be incurred in the future? There's a line for your answer and your direction to answer question 29. What is the total amount of Maya Kowalski's damages for pain and suffering, disability or physical impairment, mental anguish, inconvenience, aggravation of a disease or physical defect, and loss of capacity for the enjoyment of life sustained in the past and to be sustained in the future? There's a line for your answer and a direction to answer question 30. We're now moving on to claim 4, which is the fraudulent billing claim. Question 30. Did All Children's Hospital fraudulently misrepresent a material matter in its invoices to Jack Kowalski or his insurers? You'll answer that yes or no. If your answer to question 30 is yes, please answer question 31. If your answer to question 30 is no, your verdict is for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on this claim. You'll skip questions 31 through 33, and you will go to and answer question 34. Question 31. Did Jack Kowalski or his insurance company rely to their detriment on the fraudulent misrepresentation you found in answer to question 30? You'll answer that yes or no. And if you answer question 31 yes, you'll answer question 32. If your answer to question 31 is no, your verdict is for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on this claim. You'll skip questions 32 and 33, and you will go to and answer questions 34. 32. What is the total amount of Jack Kowalski's damages for any deductibles or copays incurred as a result of Maya Kowalski's sheltering at Johns Hopkins or increases in the cost of insurance coverage in the past or in the future, including increased premiums, copays, and higher deductibles? A line for your answer. Please answer question 33. What is the total amount of Jack Kowalski's damages for the difficulty of finding insurance in the future? There's a line for your answer and a direction to go to question 34. We are now on claim 5, which is the survivor claim for intentional infliction of emotional distress for the estate of Beata Kowalski. Did Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, through the acts of its employees, engage in extreme and outrageous conduct, intending that conduct to cause or with reckless disregard of the high probability of causing severe emotional distress to Beata Kowalski prior to her death? You will answer that yes or no. If your answer to question 34 is yes, please answer question 35. If your answer to question 34 is no, your verdict is for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on both this survivor claim as well as claim 6, which is for wrongful death. You will skip questions 35 through 45, and then you will go to and answer question 46. Question 35. What is the total amount of Beata Kowalski's damages for pain and suffering or mental anguish caused by the extreme emotional distress prior to her death on January 7, 2017? Please answer question 36. Question 36, we're now in the claim 6, which is the wrongful death claim for intentional infliction of emotional distress causing death brought by the estate of Beata Kowalski. Question 36. Did Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, through the acts of its employees, engage in extreme and outrageous conduct, intending that conduct to cause or with reckless disregard of the high probability of causing severe emotional distress to Beata Kowalski that was sufficient to be a legal cause of Beata Kowalski's death by suicide? You will either answer that yes or no. If your answer to question 36 is yes, please answer question 37. If, however, your answer to question 36 is no, your verdict is for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on this claim. You will skip questions 37 through 45, and you will go to and answer question 46. Question 37. Did the conduct that you found in question 36 create in Beata Kowalski an uncontrollable impulse to die by suicide? You will either check yes or no. Please answer question 38. Was the conduct that you found in question 36 a substantial factor in Beata Kowalski's death by suicide? You will either check yes or no, then you'll answer question 39. Question 39 addresses the damages of the estate. What is the total amount of any damages sustained by the estate for loss of net accumulations? There's a place for your answer. Please answer question 40. Now, questions 40 and 41 address damages of the surviving spouse, Jack Kowalski. Question 40. What is the amount of any damages sustained by Jack Kowalski for the loss of Beata Kowalski's support and services and funeral expenses resulting from Beata Kowalski's death paid by Jack Kowalski. There's a line for your answer. Please answer question 41. What is the total amount of damages sustained by Jack Kowalski for the loss of his wife's companionship and protection and for his pain and suffering as a result of Beata Kowalski's death? There's a line for your answer. And you'll go to question 42. Now, questions 42 and 43 address the survivor damages of Maya Kowalski. Question 42. What is the total amount of damages sustained by Maya Kowalski for the loss of Beata Kowalski's support and services? There's a line for your answer and a direction to answer question 43. What is the total amount of damages sustained by Maya Kowalski for the loss of parental companionship, instruction and guidance, and Maya Kowalski's pain and suffering as a result of Beata Kowalski's injury and death? There's a line for your answer. Please answer question 44. Now, questions 44 and questions 45 address the survivor damages of Kyle Kowalski. 44. What is the total amount of damages sustained by Kyle Kowalski for the loss of Beata Kowalski's support and services? There's a place for your answer. Please answer question 45. What is the total amount of damages sustained by Kyle Kowalski for the loss of parental companionship, instruction and guidance, and Kyle Kowalski's pain and suffering as a result of Beata Kowalski's injury and death? There's a line for your answer and a direction to answer question 46. Question 46, we're now in the seventh claim, which is the intentional infliction of emotional distress claim brought by Maya Kowalski. 46. Did Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, through the acts of its employees, engage in extreme and outrageous conduct, intending that conduct to cause or with reckless disregard of the high probability of causing severe emotional distress to Maya Kowalski? You will answer that yes or no. If your answer to question 46 is yes, you'll answer question 47. If your answer to 46 is no, your verdict is for Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on this claim. Do not answer any more questions. The verdict form is complete. The foreperson must sign and date the verdict form on page 21. Question 47. What is the total amount of Maya Kowalski's damages for lost earnings in the past, loss of earning capacity in the future, medical expenses incurred in the past, and medical expenses to be incurred in the future? Now, in awarding damages, please do not duplicate any damages you have awarded in questions 2, 4, 7, 9, 12, 14, 17, 19, 22, 24, 28, or 42. There's a line for your answer and a direction to answer question 48. What is the total amount of Maya Kowalski's damages for pain and suffering, disability or physical impairment, mental anguish, inconvenience, aggravation of a disease or physical defect, and loss of capacity for the enjoyment of life, sustained in the past and to be sustained in the future? In awarding damages, please do not duplicate any damages you awarded in questions 3, 8, 13, 18, 23, or 29. Place for your answer and an instruction that your verdict form is complete and that the foreperson must date and sign the verdict form. Okay, we are now going to return to the jury instruction packet. We are on page 68. Your verdict must be unanimous. That is, your verdict must be agreed to by each of you. When you have agreed on your verdict, finish filling out the form, your foreperson must write the date and sign it at the bottom. At that point, please notify the court deputy that there is a verdict. You will remain in the deliberation room until I am able to assemble everyone to return to the courtroom, which may take some time. Once I ask for the jury to return to the courtroom, The foreperson will bring the completed verdict form. If any of you need to communicate with me for any reason, write me a note and give it to the court deputy. In your note, do not disclose any vote or split or the reason for your communication. I will tell you it will take some time for us to reassemble, because I think I have already told you that this room is going to be closed and people will probably be outside the building or maybe be off campus. So to the extent you are able to continue to work ahead, please do so, because it will take some time. Now, we're going to pause there before I go to the last instruction. There's a couple more matters, last minute matters we need to address. The first thing is what I have been dreading for 9 weeks. And there's no other way to say it. The law that allows for the deliberations only allows six of you to deliberate. I see some of you are shaking your head thinking that that might be the case. We have alternates. We had six alternates in case one or more of the individuals that are on the jury actually fell out. Yesterday you saw we lost. He was an alternate, but we lost somebody. And assume we had no alternates. Had that happened, we would have had to start all of this again. I will tell you, I've had trials that last a half of a day where I've lost members of the jury for 9 weeks until the day before the last day we lost one person is a testament to all of you. I feel horrible, or maybe the alternates are going to be relieved that they don't have to deliberate. But there's a couple of things that I need to tell you. As with yesterday, when I separate the alternates, I can't have the alternates interact anymore with the main jury. To the extent that the alternates have the main jurors' telephone numbers, you cannot use them to call the jurors until this is all over. Please don't have, I know you might want to talk to them, but you have to wait until this is all over. We do not want to have a mistrial at this point and have to start this entire process over. So in a couple of moments, I'm going to excuse the alternates. What we're going to do is the alternates are going to go back to the deliberation room. I'm going to leave the six jurors here. The alternates are going to get all of their materials that they might have in the back. And the court deputies are going to take you out to your car. To add insult to injury, I'm only ordered lunch for the six jurors because the county does not like me spending money for people who are not actually deliberating. So that's like the cherry on top of being told that you're the alternate is you don't get lunch. And I apologize for that. I know many of you have jobs and that your employers have also put up with you not being there. I do have notes for those who may need them, and I'm going to hand this entire package to Deputy Coley, who will pass out those juror notes for your employers. I also have the sheriff's office has been so kind and actually ordered lunch, but you're going to have to take the lunch for the alternates. We can't have them back there. So at least now you have the cherry on top. You get lunch. That's very nice of y'all. As I was saying, I also have some certificates for the jurors who are alternates. It in no way conveys the amount of appreciation that I and the parties and the lawyers have. You have put your life on hold for 9 weeks, and it's incredible civic duty that you have engaged in, and I cannot tell you how appreciative I am for your service, and how sorry I am that you're not going to get to deliberate. Now, there's a few more things. The alternates know the names of the jurors, and you also know where they work. I'm presuming you know where they work. Long before this trial started, I entered an order that protected the names of the jurors until this is over. For the alternates, you may not disclose the names of the actual six presiding jurors or their location of where they work or any sort of identifying information about them until everything is over. Okay, do we understand that as a group of 11? I know I haven't told you who the alternates are, but do we all understand that the alternates may not disclose the names, where they work, or any identifying information of the jurors? We all understand that? Okay. Now, you have been given an instruction that you can't talk about this case, you can't do any research. After you are outside of this building, that instruction will end. At that point, you are free to talk about or not talk about this case. Just make sure you are outside the building. I do not want to have a mistrial because you all started talking about this in the presence of our jury. You will be free, like I said, to talk about or not talk about anything having to do with your experience, your thoughts, whatever. Totally up to you. And in a moment, I'm going to give you the official instruction on it, but let me kind of give you the Cliff's notes on it. The attorneys and their agents may not approach you. You may approach the lawyers, but the attorneys will never be allowed to approach you unless you approach them first. Okay? You are free to talk to the media. You are free not to talk to the media. That's going to be totally up to you and as to what you individually want to do. I'm not going to tell you what to do other than you cannot say who those jurors that are actually deliberating are or where they work or any personal identifying information. I would ask you, though, to contemplate, would the other jurors want their personal identity out there if they're not wanting to talk to the media? So I just ask you to consider that. If you want to leave your telephone number with Deputy Coley, he can give it to my judicial assistant, and when there is a verdict in this case, we can call you. You are actually free to come back, and when I say sit in the audience, we're actually going to close this courtroom so you won't physically be able to come in the courtroom unless and until the jury is actually in the room. But you're free to do that if you want. If you want to go home, that's fine too. If you want to go to your favorite watering hole, that's also fine. Just no drinking and driving afterwards. Okay, so I'm going to give you the official discharge because as soon as I read you this, I've got to separate you out from the jury. And again, on behalf of all of the participants and the lawyers, the court staff, the sheriff's office, the clerk's office, thank you. Members of the jury, the alternates, on behalf of the parties, the attorneys, and the people of the state of Florida, I wish to thank you for your time and consideration of this case. I also wish to advise you of some very special privileges enjoyed by jurors, including the alternates. No juror can be required to talk about discussions that occurred in the jury room except by court order. Now, I know the alternates have not done any deliberations, but I'm just going to read you the instruction anyway. For many centuries, our society has relied upon juries for consideration of difficult cases. We have recognized for hundreds of years that a jury's deliberations, discussions, and votes should remain their private affair as long as they wish it. Therefore, the law gives you a unique privilege not to speak about the jury's work. The lawyers and their representatives are not permitted to initiate any communication with you about the trial. However, you may speak to the lawyers or anyone else about the trial, subject to what my instruction was not to disclose the information of the deliberating jurors until this is all over. A request may come from those who are simply curious or from those who might seek to find fault with you, and it will be up to each of you to decide whether you wish to preserve your privacy as a juror. At this time, plaintiffs and defense, is the court able to discharge the alternates?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, the alternates are, and I'm going to use your jury numbers, juror number 106, juror number 115, juror number 137, 138, and 155. I have your certificates here and jury notes. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your service. We'll all rise as the alternates leave.
All rise. Jurors exiting.
And Debbie DiMizio, if you can get me their note packages and bring them to me so I can shred them. Yeah, I know their note packages are heavy. Everyone's been taking lots of notes. Okay, everyone can have a seat. There's a few more instructions we need to give because I need to give the alternate some time to get out of the jury deliberation room. Speaking of the jury deliberation room, this is important. I have stopped all sorts of cleaning services in that room on a going forward basis. So there's going to be no one taking out the trash. Obviously there's going to be food, maybe some smelly food. So if you want your trash, give the trash can to the court deputy and we'll take care of it. Make sure that there's nothing in that trash that reveals anything, okay? But I'm more concerned about any sort of smelly food, so for however long you deliberate that you're not having to have that odor in there. But all cleaning services are stopped. No one's going to be going into that room. We are sealing that room. Even if you are coming back after a night break, no one's going to be going into that room. Your ability, like I said, you can go as long as you want tonight. If you want to order dinner, it will take approximately an hour and a half to 2 hours from the moment you say go to order dinner for it to come and arrive. So keep that in mind as you're deliberating. If you're going to want dinner brought in, give court deputies an hour and a half to 2 hour lead time so that they can arrange for that for you. If at some point you want to keep going tonight or call it a day, give us a note and let us know what you are thinking about as far as timing perspective. And like I said, when you send us a note, it's gonna take us a little bit of time to get back together. So give us a little bit of a lead time. Like if you say you wanted to end at exactly 6 o'clock and you send us a note at 5:55, I'm not going to be able to get everybody here by 6 o'clock. So give us a little bit of heads up as far as what you want to do. Now, I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to stop you tonight if you want to continue to go into the evening, but at some point I will say, you know, we'll bring you back tomorrow. You can go as little or as long in your deliberations. That is going to be totally up to you. Okay, so I did that one. You are going to have all exhibits in the courtroom. And Madam Clerk, are we now good with all exhibits?
Yes, Your Honor, I just need to find it.
I'm sorry?
I just need to put it in the book and that's it.
Okay, so, and I believe the attorneys both have reviewed the exhibits, they know everything is valid and that there's no inappropriate material.
Correct.
Okay. There is when I say there's a computer back there, it has no access to the internet. It's not connected to any networks or anything like that. But there are thumb drives of items that are admitted in evidence. So if you want to review the evidence that is on a thumb drive, you have that capability back there. If ultimately, though, that computer doesn't work for any reason and you need to hear something, what we will do at that point is you would send me a note to say, you know, we want to hear exhibit number X or whatever it is. We will then all reassemble, including the attorneys, and we will then address whatever that issue is. But if that computer is working back there, if you want to review an audio file, let's say, you can do that. We have also prepared an exhibit table of contents. And Alex, you have the thumb. And we also have an electronic thumb drive that has that table of contents electronically, so that if you wish to review a table of contents electronically versus in paper, you've got that ability as well. Whatever you want to do, if you want to do that at all. And the lawyers have checked that and made sure that that's the only thing that is on that thumb drive. If you end up not coming to a verdict today, and that we are going to break for the evening, there's a question of what we're going to do with the verdict form. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to send this envelope back with you. There's nothing in the envelope. My assistant wrote verdict form, the case number, on here. Okay. What you're going to do is, when all six of you are standing around, you're going to place the verdict form into this envelope. You're going to seal the envelope, and then you're going to write, I would say, your juror numbers as opposed to your initials. When we bring you into the room, into this courtroom to say goodnight to you, we will then take that verdict form from you. The clerk of court will then place tape over your verdict form, and so that you will be able to see that no one has gone into your verdict form or seen that it's been reviewed in any way, shape, or form. And in the morning, the court deputy will give it back to you with the tape left on it, so that you will know for a fact that no one has reviewed that verdict form. Okay. I've talked about it's going to take a little bit of time for questions. I've talked about trash. Have the alternates vacated the building yet? I'm sorry?
We're still waiting on the building.
Okay, so it's going to be a couple more minutes because I can't. Until they're out of the building, we're not going to do anything. As soon as the alternates clear the building, then I'll let you begin your deliberations and have that lunch that's been sitting there. Plaintiff's defense, may this jury begin its deliberations.
They may, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, members of the jury, this time you will take your notes with you. Okay, take the court instructions with you. Give the court deputies your cell phones and any type of electronic device with you, and at this time you may retire to begin your deliberations. We will bring in the evidence and the verdict form.
All rise, jurors exiting.
Okay.
okay, the jury's out of our presence. Are we taking the,
yes,
the evidence? Okay, we can do that. Madam Clerk, I'm filing the jury instructions as read, and I annotated that. Everyone can be seated for just a moment. Before you all leave, please make sure, when I say you all, the attorneys, make sure you leave with the clerk a telephone number that we can reach you. I would ask that before you disperse, kind of wait 15 minutes or so in case there's an immediate question from the jury. Try not to go more than 10 minutes, maybe 15, because I don't want to wait 30 minutes to reassemble, but you know, I understand it's we don't have the facilities for you all to hang out here. Couple of other things. If the jury is still deliberating, come back at 6 o'clock and we'll discuss what we're going to do at that point in time. So if you haven't heard us before, make sure you're back at 6 o'clock. Any other issues?
Not by clinic, Your Honor.
Okay. And one other thing that, you know, I observed the jurors during closing arguments, and I would say that all of the jurors were attentive to both sides. And I will specifically note that juror number one, for both sides during their arguments, continued his practice of taking copious notes. And there was no change in his body language or demeanor between the plaintiff's arguments and the defense arguments. So with that, we will be in recess pending.
Your Honor, just a question. Did you give a verdict form? Did you give them the physical verdict form?
Yes. I gave it to the deputy who handed it to them.
Just one. Just one.
Just one. Just one. One and only one. And I did the version that I annotated that. Was it question three? So.
What I understand what you're talking about.
Okay. So with that, we will be in recess pending the call of the jury, and I'm going to ask that everyone please depart the courtroom. We are in recess. Please be seated. Let me get this feed going again. I've been provided a note from the jury, and it says, we'd like to access the Kirby Christie financial money that possesses the lost earned monies, what Maya would earn, etc. Also, we have documents we need to review but don't know how to find it. One juror says, quote, teach me how to find stuff, end quote. And stuff wasn't the word used, but that's my substitution. I also want to indicate that I understand that the jury was unable to access the thumb drive. I know that because they sent it to the court IT person who has converted it into an HTML. So I did want to let you know that there was Mike, who you've seen, has had some contact. So I wanted to first put that out there, let you know about it. If you want to have any follow-up about that, we can do that. So I understand that, and as a backdrop, you know, we have the little computer back there. This is the first time that I think we've actually turned them on. And it'll have office on it. So that's what happened. We don't have office suite on it. And so that's why they had to convert that flash drive that we had with the exhibits, there's no Excel. Now, he has taken the computer that's downstairs in our jury room downstairs and has created and put Office on it, so he could swap it out if the parties wanted him to, or we can just let it be and just they can have the computer that they have back there. IT tells me the access to that flash drive was the only thing that it really needed Office for, and he's converted to an HTML file, so they would be able to review that file electronically. So that's where we're at. Any thoughts or how we should answer the question?
Well, so long as that question about finding stuff doesn't mean they still don't know how to access it.
I don't know. If you want to look at the note, you're happy to look at. Why don't you come look at the note?
School bus. Read your testimony, or they can be directed towards the information, or back in and tell them you got to rely on what you know in there. But there was testimony about Kirby Christie. The question was, as I suggested, putting her report in. I'm not sure we were allowed to put her complete report in, so they had notes about it. So I had predicted that they would want that report.
Well, we need to come up with a response.
Well, we object to them having the report out, Your Honor, because the report is hearsay. Obviously, wouldn't.
The objective was it was cumulative.
Well, whatever is in evidence is in evidence. Right. We're not adding evidence at this point.
This is just off the top of my head, but if part of their problem is just sort of IT technology issues. If you wanted to let your IT man go and help them learn how to do something on that, I don't see a problem with that.
I'm willing to do that. I didn't want to do that without the party's knowledge and assent.
Yes, and I would just simply point out that they had taken notes on her testimony. I think they want to be correct about what the numbers are. And I want to make sure we have minimal error on economic numbers. But I think the court can say, you heard testimony, rely on your notes. And that would be about the best.
Yeah.
Now, on, I'm trying to get them all on closing. The fact that they, I don't know if they wrote them down or not. But that's what they're trying to do. And they're trying to keep it so that they keep the numbers where they're supposed to be. And I really, for the record, we have to come up with an approach so that I don't want the defense coming back and saying, they got these numbers wrong, Judge. It was $10,780,000 and they came back with $10,250,000. That's not fair. So, well, we have to find the right way.
I will tell you, I'm not exactly sure what the question is asking. I don't know if they're saying, help us find the location of the evidence, or if they're asking something else. I just don't know reading that question.
Fair enough.
You know, the second part is the teach us how to do this so we don't bother you type of request. This is kind of how I...
Right. Well, I think we should answer both parts of the question, because perhaps they're thinking, if we just get this tech solution, we'll get the access to the exhibits, and somewhere in there we'll find Christie Kirby's report. So we need to instruct them that that's kind of futile.
And the other one may be the old, can we have a calculator?
I don't have a calculator. Seriously,
I do.
Gee, I would never have guessed.
just has a 33 it just has a 33% button on it, that's all.
But I mean, seriously, let's ask them. They want a freaking calculator. You know, it's not how many times. Well, maybe you guys. But how many times have I?
I've got a jury that's winning, so let's.
I said an IT guy, but I wouldn't object to the clerk that put the records together and the IT guy going. That's a decent on-job training.
I just asked Mike to come down here, and in everyone's presence, we're going to talk about the scope. I'm actually going to bring the jury here first, but I wanted to nail down what we all agree on Mike can do, and if it would be better to Al or you, Natalie.
I'm not
going to
object to it.
Can we seriously, I mean, it may be as simple, they don't have their phones, they don't have anything else, can we at least ask them if they want a calculator, because that's allowed.
Well, they have not asked for a calculator, so I'm not going to create an issue that hasn't been asked. Now, there's been some discussion as to whether we should have IT go in and help them. And so, since we're going to have this discussion, I just want to make sure both sides are okay with Mike, and you also said have the clerk go in and help show them where the evidence is.
No objection.
No objection.
Okay. I also need to bring the jury in to give them the response. My response, should I just say that I'm interpreting this question as you need help trying to figure out where to find stuff, and we're going to send these two individuals back. They're not allowed to discuss this case with you. They're not allowed to help you or communicate with you other than to show you how to find stuff and how to do it. Is that?
Well, that is agreeable to the plaintiffs. I still request that there be some communication to the jury so we don't have 15 questions about this. If this is the math, let's ask them if they need some help with the math in some form or fashion.
Well, what if I do this? I'll tell them that my understanding of the question is you're asking for help. If the understanding of your question is different, send me another note.
Yeah.
That way, I invite the question, but I don't presuppose what they are thinking, because I don't. Because right now, I don't know.
I get it. I agree.
So,
is there any chance of sending them out? I like going here tonight this morning. You want to plug that up?
It's 4 o'clock now, and they know that it's going to take a while. So, if they're just trying to figure out where they're going to find stuff, we'll see how it comes out. So,
what about the PC as far as swapping?
Do you want him to put in a machine that has Office on it, or just leave the machine?
They're struggling with what they have, and he's already kind of in the HTML. I think they're keeping with the simpler.
Can I ask one question here?
Sure.
Whatever you could put on there, will it have the ability to do basic math and arithmetic?
I believe so. I have to take a look, though.
I'm fine.
There should be a calculator.
The basic Office has a calculator.
Well, the machine that's in there right now doesn't have Office.
All right, so we'd like it swapped so that there's Office.
So the plaintiffs are okay with putting a machine with Office in there.
That's fine.
And the defense are okay with that. Okay. So do you have the computer ready to go?
It's in the conference room.
Okay, so that's the one from downstairs?
Correct.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to bring the jury in. I'm going to go read them the question. I'm going to respond that we're going to send somebody from the clerk's office, and you to go back to teach them how to find stuff. We're going to swap out the computers, that they're not allowed to talk to you about the case. Y'all cannot do anything about any of their deliberations. And then if their question was for something else, then they can send us another note. So with that, let's go ahead and bring in the jury.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Doesn't matter where you sit. Please be seated, everybody. Okay, members of the jury, I have discussed your note with the attorneys, and you have made the following request. We'd like to access the Kirby Christie financial money that possesses the lost earned monies, what Maya would earn, etc. Or slash also, we have documents we need to review but don't know how to find it. One juror says, quote, teach me how to find stuff, end quote. And of course, I switched off that word with an LOL. So have I read the statement or if I have not read the statement appropriately, let me go ahead and raise your hand so we all agree. Okay. Well, let me say this. I'm sorry?
Can I talk or do I have to?
Well, let me say something and then you can talk. Okay. I wasn't exactly sure if you were asking for help in how to find stuff as far as the top part of the question. That's how I'm interpreting it. I could be wrong. So I have Mike from Court IT who can go back and show you how, and I'm going to have a representative from the clerk's office come and show you where the exhibits are, how to access the exhibits. They cannot talk to you, and you can't ask them anything about the case. Right. This is just a technical assistance. Right. Now, Mike is going to actually swap out the computers and put a computer that actually has Microsoft Office back there, but it still will not have access. So if you wanted something else, then send me another note, okay? Otherwise, what we're going to do is, are you ready to do that? So, Mike, why don't you go get the computer, and then Mike will join you in the room in just a moment, and somebody from the clerk's office will be in. But again, you cannot ask them anything about the case.
No.
This is just technical, how to find the stuff.
Right.
The five-letter word as opposed to the four-letter word. Okay. Okay. With that, I'm going to let you go back and continue. Okay, Mike? Natalie? Okay. Have fun.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to file the note here in open court. Is there anything else we need to do? You might want to just hang for a couple of minutes to see if another note generates in the next couple of minutes.
They're going to come back. Next one will be in about 45 minutes.
Okay. Anything else? Because I'm going to go into recess if there's nothing else.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we will be in recess and pending the next question or verdict from the jury.
Are you closing the courtroom, Judge?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Judge. We're still coming back at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock unless you get called earlier. But I'd wait 5 or 10 minutes before you leave the building.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you all. We're in recess.
The fog is text wrong. I didn't get my text.
Yeah, because yeah. Well, why is it 15 up north and 11 here?
I don't know.
You want to ask him?
No. Bro, I'm here to do my job and take my ass home.
Oh, my
that's
God.
It.
So, no, so okay.
That is it.
I just went the system off. I'm just going to tell them.
Okay.
Because it wasn't.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well then. Okay. I'll be in a sec. I just have to put that away. So, did you tell them? I told them. See, that she was, they were misunderstood. She was looking at these.
Oh.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.